At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. I'm laughing because I literally, you know, put up the message. Let's see, what was the timing? 7 minutes ago, I put up the note. Looks like we're delayed getting started, but we're not. I'm in the rare position of having to credit Comcast. Casey got to the studio this morning and the internet was down, and so I said, I sent him a note. I said, I can't connect. He said, yeah, Comcast. But good for them. Well done. Thank you, Comcast. We're ready to go, although I am gonna have to tap dance a little bit on the visitors, on the guest list, because I stopped, you know, sending out the invitations when I wasn't sure. There's nothing worse than, you know, can you join us? Can you join us at 8:30 or 9:00 or whatever, you know? And then you're right back. Sorry. we're knocked off the air. So here, I guess I'm just going to delete this. Boom, deleted. All right. In regards to the weekend, we got plenty of racing. We've also got plenty of the hard news variety, and boy, it certainly, you know, can't go too far without mentioning about as entertaining a pair of football games as you'll ever see. That was crazy yesterday. If you hang on every single play of any team. A DVR football game on our system that fairly regularly there, and you were better off avoiding the inside part of the turf course and trying to, you know, stay out toward the crown and where the footing was firmer, but the main track, I mean, really the only, right? I mean, the only main track winner of you know, any note that came from, you know, any distance was Call Me Midnight. And James Graham was patient, saw the pace unfolding, you know, pretty quickly. And Epicenter was, you know, turning back anybody that, you know, that was testing him. And the tests came from the outside on the backstretch and then up the inside. Papacap, Joe Bravo advancing. It was kind of bottled up for a good long while and then started to advance and looked like he would, you know, especially knowing or expecting that the inside was the place to be. And it looked like that was going to work. But Epicenter held firm, but was left vulnerable to Call Me Midnight. And James Graham and Keith DeSormo, owner Peter Cantrell, with a Midnight Loot Colt bred by Hartwell Farm. And if you didn't see the story, I'm sure we'll do this with Sid on Wednesday. There's a really nice story in Bloodhorse, and I don't know if I have it on the screen, but a really nice story that I'm going to tell you right away who wrote it, because it caught my eye. And Lauren Gash wrote a really nice piece about Hartwell Farm, Robbie and Susie Lyons, that bred Call Me Midnight, and it struck on a number of the the themes that we discussed. I mean, even though they're commercial breeders and they've got, you know, they've got a broodmare band, they also take in boarders. They fold about 50 babies a year. It really, I thought, was a, you know, story that hit the same notes that Sid and I discussed on Wednesday. And the mare that they bought, this overseen first defense mare, bought out of the Judmont culling, and they paid $16,000. Paid $16,000 for a very nice female family of Judmonts, and covered her with midnight loot, and apparently she's kind of a smallish mare, and they got this baby, and yeah, wasn't expensive, and you know, ultimately was an $80,000 OBS purchase for Peter Cantrell, but it was a great, it reinforced a lot of the things that Sid and I discussed on Wednesday about, you know, modest. I mean, and the Lions, Robbie and Susie Lyons obviously are, you know, they're full time. They've been doing it for 30 years. So it's not like they're, you know, just wading into it. But clearly, you know, they've got several different, levels of broodmare. And, you know, they, going back a little bit, they sold the Havisham, the Dam of Serengeti Empress was them. Pull that story up. I'll send a link out to it. Anyway, Call Me Midnight, solid figure, you know, solid enough on the buyer scale, 88 here, Epicenter and Papa Cap. I think they'll all, you know, everybody's going to regroup and prepare for the Risen Star and take it out a mile and an eighth. A couple of disappointments in here, I suppose. Trafalgar, you know, kind of loomed and loomed and loomed and never really finished. Cyberknife, Florent Giroux rode Cyberknife like, you know, like he had a powder keg under him. He kept him wide the whole time, and he, you know, came right up to everybody and made this big threatening move and really flattened out. Yeah, they put the blinkers on, and so I have to check what Brad Cox's thought is. I should reach out to Al Gold as well and see what Al had to say. He seemed poised off the, you know, even though it was a maiden breaker, it was still his fourth start. It wasn't like, you know, he came into it experienced. You can't say that it, you know, was a lacking experience issue. So we'll see. The highlight, it really in a lot of ways, was Mandaloon, of course, and Midnight Bourbon. And you start to feel bad at some point for Midnight Bourbon. You know, and everybody says, oh, he keeps getting these great setups. Well, yeah, he also is constantly running against the best horses in the division. I don't think apologies need to be created for Midnight Bourbon. That's the sixth time in 14 starts he's been second. And of course, you know, the Haskell situation where Paco with the heel clip incident with Hot Rod Charlie. But so, you know, that, who knows what might have happened the rest of the way there. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the record that Midnight Bourbon is fashioning. It really feels like Mandaloon, though, is going to be you know, a handful for anybody this year. That was a career best for him. 106 buyer and, you know, super professional and polished and just cruised up under Giroux. And, you know, they were together for a period. And you could, it didn't take long really to see that Mandaloon was going easier of the two. And you know, Joel Rosario asking more of Midnight Bourbon. And Mandaloon, smoothly edged forward. That warrant ran okay. Was the third. I was hoping for a better. I just used him as a C. But you know, I was hoping that he would kind of mix it up a little bit more than he did. But we'll keep tabs on him. The rest of the Fairgrounds card and the stakes sequence, you know, the price that the price obviously was 40 under, and the one-time stake horse for Bill Parcells, going back to his two-year-old year, and one of the Parcells has done this repeatedly in terms of selling stock, and the recipients in this case, the Wyckoffs and Three Diamonds, and in Maker's hands, in a horse like this, a two-turn turf horse, very dangerous. And he, from a handicapping standpoint, 40 under was far from impossible in here, and you know, certainly gave him a look, but I thought from out there they were going to be a little hard pressed, and you know, there was other, you know, not just other speed and other front end parties, but quite a bit of it. And what was notable here, you know, the pace setters, no dent was really put into them at all. And two Emmys, you know, who we all were kind of lining up against, ran very well. He certainly ran well, but, you know, late, 40 under, and Halo again, who were pressing and chasing, and, you know, with that tight finish, 40 under. With Mitch Merle, nice for Mitch. They win the Bradley, 16-1. And that was really key because, you know, the other winners in the all-stakes pick five and the stakes pick four, I mean, Lecrette, how about that cagey Rosario maneuver, letting Colby Hernandez and company on Fanny and Freddie think they're Fanny and Freddie is prevailing. No, they're not. No. Not prevailing. Yeah, that was, Rosario obviously knew. Again, let Lecrette just relax, and that's a nice win. The Stone Street homebred, Medaglia d'Oro out of the wonderful Cavorting, and they win the Silver Bullet Day, that whole group. And the two of them, it's, you know, it's interesting because Sweet as Pie never really, the Pletcher, never really threatened here. You know, was kind of mid-pack and you know, on the backstretch, all right. But then when the real running was starting, she just kind of, you know, idled. Berna Breezy actually was closer and stayed on. But Lecrette and Fanny and Freddie, they were, you know, three plus lengths clear of everybody else. So Lecrette wins that Silver Bullet Day, and we got to reach out, actually. I paused on lining up guests because of the uncertainty whether we're going to get on the air today. But I'd love to get Paul McGee. And for them, for the five-year-old pass the plate for, when I say them, the Hamiltons, Silverton Hill. This was a nice win in the Krantz, and pass the plate. Let me see. How many times? Let me pass. This is the fifth career win for the Temple City Mayor. Great way to start the five-year-old season. Second win at Fairgrounds, going back to the Pago Hop in 2020. Yeah, this was a good performance, and had to come, you know, from the back of the pack too. But good job by Marcelino Pedroza judging, you know, when to move, and I felt a little badly. Lovely Ride took money, right? What was Lovely? Because, yeah, Lovely Ride, and this race obviously took a hit on the scratch board. You know, we knew Catch a Bid and Summer in Saratoga were coming out, but then Touch of Class came out for Bernie Flint, and so did Assertive Style ended up scratching as well, Chris Hartman. And I had real interest in Assertive Style. And so when Assertive Style scratched, I turned to Lovely Ride and elevated Lovely Ride. And there were a couple of strides. I thought she was a winner. But she got bet. And what was interesting, Past the Plate was 6-1, goes off at 8-1. Lovely Ride 12-1, and ended up being driven down to 4-1. So a lot of interesting things happened to the board, and you know, basically, I think a lot of people did not necessarily did what I did, but they went looking after the scratches. They went looking for horses that, you know, would be involved in the pace, and that Adelaide missed at 14-1. For Brittany Russell, holds third, so and gets black type, and she's wintering down there. Brittany Russell, who just continues to win, so she brought her turf horses to Fairgrounds, and of course the main string at Laurel. So nice job. Past the Plate, 19-20. As Marty McGee says, I love when that happens. That gets us to that gets us to the other stake, and we'll come back to the maiden races and the allowances, which were very notable. Let's talk about the DQ, and this is a very strange. I haven't reached out to Michelle Lovell to ask her thoughts. I think I can imagine her thoughts, but this was very odd. And in part because the horse that got elevated, a case could be made that Cowan himself, granted, Just Might and Colby Hernandez, they are making their way, you know, toward the, you know, the slightly toward the inside, coming from the what, the, where were they? Where did, what, let me see. He was in the 5-hole. And you know, you watch the head on and you watch the pan, and it does look like they're pretty much clear, but there's enough. You know, there's enough tightening up of the horses between, you know, that included who? Strike Me Down, I think, and and Classy John. There was enough, you know, kind of compacting going on to clearly affect Cowan, who then turns to his inside and tries to take a bite out of Sir Alfred James, who you know, did nothing, and who promptly John McKee comes down from Cincinnati and welcome to New Orleans. Well, that was a little crazy. And then you know, they start looking, and you know, the conclusion is that, you know, the conclusion is, I guess, that that just might, you know, initiated the course of events. I guess I to me, this was about using the Seth Merrow, you know, percentage rule. This was like a, to me, like an 80-20. And the more I looked at it, I tried to even take some stills, and I was going to put up a whole, I had a whole thing of, I was going to try to disassemble it on Twitter. And I said, you know what, this is just one of those odd circumstances. I know Marcus, I saw where Marcus was like dumbstruck that they took Just Might down, and then, you know, later said, well, I guess I can see it. I think that's the widespread conclusion was, I guess. I imagine that Michelle was not happy, I don't blame her. The upside here, I guess, you know, Cowan, I don't know if you saw what I wrote in the analysis. It was a frustrating day, frankly, in terms of the actual wagering. I just kept getting, you know, get a multi sequence going, and then would get stopped by, you know, whatever. That Pioneer of Medina got me on the early part of the card, and I made a ridiculous mistake, which we'll get to in a minute. Somehow, you know, not using Tis of Thee, the Amos. Amos had that double in the middle of the card. Aside from the stakes action, the other notable moments came with the allowance and you know, Underhill's tab. I saw a lot of people, you know, kind of dump on his performance. He actually watched that replay again. He actually got very squeezed. He didn't go off favored, by the way. Stellar Tap went off at 6-5. Got bet like they'd already run the race. Which I thought was a little strange, and Pioneer of Medina ends up, you know, then this was at the portion of the day when, you know, you really still were carefully watching the front end, you know, based on what had gone on Friday. So, Pioneer of Medina on the front end pays 16-20 in there. 80 buyer for the Pletcher Invader. This is a Sumaya U.S. product, Pioneer of the Nile, out of an Escondorea mare. And Kevin's Folly ended up second in here from the outside, from the 7. And, you know, the two favorites, Stellar Tap, a non-threatening third, and Underhill's Tab ended up 6th, beating, you know, a dozen. But he gets squeezed and has to more or less, you know, kind of Colby Hernandez kind of had to check him back out of it. Stay on the main track for a minute. We'll do the turf races separately. Stay on the dirt races. The rest of the action, the maidens are, yeah, I'll save that. Let's go to the, yeah, we'll save that. The maiden races. How about the Violence? Windstar Sienna, first-time starter. And here's a horse that got bet to favoritism. That this was in the 9th. You know, this was the one non-stake that came after a stake sequence had begun. And this was the race with Vinco, you know, the $1.5 million West Point purchase, who did come running, who, you know, kind of was slow starting and you know, had some early, you know, kind of an early scramble, a little bit of a of a scrum early, but came flying late. The race came back slow. I'll tell you right now, the race, 64 Bayer for Ferociously, and this is a Scarborough-bred violence colt out of a City Zip mare. So you do wonder if this, you know, long term, if this isn't a perhaps a turf colt. But Vinco, you know, not a terrible debut, and did come running, and certainly might want to, you know, go longer. When it's all said and done, Stormcat out of or Quality Road out of the Stormcat mare, and my idea with you, Robertson, didn't work. I'm your captain. Was shuffled back early and never really involved. A couple of things about the opinions from the weekend, and everybody contributed. I thought between Chad Schexnader and Frank McGoey and Marcus, everybody had their moments and had the information that paid off. One thing that is going to certainly stick in the back of my mind, when we talked about this race, you'll remember that Chad said to you, a horse like Ganeau, when they've gone this many starts for Brad Cox, the fourth career start, and really, you know, haven't, you know, they've second, third, and fourth, beaten 2 3/4, 1 3/4, 6 1/4. He said, stop betting them. And that was good advice. This horse ended up fifth, beaten 5 lengths at just under 3-1, second choice, vied for favoritism. So that was a nice piece of advice. And, you know, on that topic, and I mentioned, made the bad mistake with Tis of Thee, I ended up, you know, trying a couple of different horses in that maiden mile race, the sixth. Well, Frank McGoey told you there were two horses to worry about in that spot, and there were two horses to use to get you through, the 2 and the 14, and they finished first and third. And More Than Work, who was way out, you know, for field of 14, this was the Brad Cox that was coming off of a near miss in his last try in November. You knew the 14 was going to be a handful. I tried. I think I keyed Mazuma, who ended up fourth in here. But Tis of Thee was the other horse that Frank told you wins at 9-1. Part of James Graham's very nice day. So nice work there. And in the other turf race, since I mentioned the turf race, Takafumi came through and won with Mojica. This was Jose Cameo. That was one of the formful results. And then the other, you know, the other two or three maidens, the two maiden routes, Peaceful Waters, very nice. That's a nice horse for Al and Chet Thomas. Actually, this is the horse that we mentioned that was bred by Mark Toothaker and Keith Krupper. Peaceful Waters, 77 on the wire job, going a mile and a 16th. And in the other route maiden race, Brad Cox with Gary and Mary West's Go Sapper Colt Gunfighter. And this was a Frank. Frank was right in the second race. Yeah, this was all Frank too, McGoey. So Gunfighter, 79 Bayer. And then finally, the last of the day's action that we haven't mentioned, I gave you Pioneer of Medina, Hazy Command for Amos, and he had those back-to-back wins in the sixth and seventh, right? Was it the sixth for Al? Was that right? Tis of Thee? Yeah, for Woodford Homebred, American Pharaoh out of Tisabella, and also for Amos, Late Night Stables. This is a mastery filly, and she came from a little bit off the pace, going the 3/4. The one of the things about this race that changed was, of course, the sharp working Brett Calhoun runner, Nonviolence, came out, and that kind of changed things. But Hazy Command, a little over 6-5, and I should mention also the Louisiana bred race. Grace leads us home, first-time starter for Louis Russell. You can't have a big day at Fairgrounds without without Louis Russell winning a race. That make sure, and Ronnie Lamarck, I'll tell you that I blew it. I missed that's another one I missed. It was just kind of one of those days where you hit a couple, then you get stopped. Yeah, then you hit a couple, you get stopped. But it was fun. Long day. That's the bottom line. It was a long day. But good. And, you know, since we're on the Fairgrounds topic, I do want to mention, because they, you know, Friday and even yesterday, there were a couple of other notable performances and some older horses as well. And Dallas Stewart had a winner on Friday that looks like a nice horse. Jimmy Dan. A Kitten's Joy, a 4-year-old. And Al Stahl, actually, on Friday, too. Anna Volante. A Fast Anna. 4-year-old filly. That broke the maiden. And then yesterday, Dallas for Mr. 50. In fact, I sent the fig to Dallas and Sid this morning. Hope I didn't send it too early because I was up very early. 78 buyer for Spites Per Comite, with Ray Lou. And you also had, I want to mention this because it caught my eye, and I wanted to figure out more information. Tanner Tracy. And my first thought, this was yesterday in the sixth at Fairgrounds. My first thought was, and I could tell by his record, you know, that he's you know, had some on his own, and then you know, periods of time where he didn't have starters, and I thought this has got to be Ray Tracy's son, and it appears to be the case. Sin City Gal, first time starter yesterday, turf sprinting, and nice win. Homebred for Joel Hunsberger, a ghost sapper. Tanner Tracy. So congratulations to them. Fairgrounds action, and I cannot believe me. I'm excited about being there for Risen Star. It's become one of my absolute favorite days anywhere. The other action to talk about all over the place, let's talk about Oaklawn for a minute. We're going to talk to Ben Colebrook. That was one arrangement I made early, before we were questionable about whether we were going to get on the air. So we'll talk to Ben about Miss Mosaic. This is a nice story, and this has got a breeding angle to it. Keystone Racing and a Verrazano mare, a 6-year-old, just turned 6, and they, you know, absolutely were looking to get a stake win for her. She was multiple stake placed, and they're looking to breed her quite soon, and Ben pulls it off. Miss Mosaic, exciting race with Danny Cabrera aboard, beats Joy's Rocket, the Asmussen Hanley Parkland filly, and Miss Mosaic with a 87 buyer in this. How's that stand up to her career? Not a career best. She had run a 92 in the Roxlana last summer. But Miss Mosaic. So we'll talk to Ben in hour 3. And there is something that I just see here that catches my eye that I will mention, because it's on my notebook. Miss Mosaic, Verrazano, out of an Artax mare, glittering tax. And that is notable because, as I told you last week, I'd had a conversation, a really nice conversation during the Christmas New Year's time off with Paul Berube. And Paul was, he was kind of curious, you know, I wanted to talk to him about, you know, TRPB and his time there. And that was the motivation. But we started talking about his racing interests, and, you know, he's got that Captain Quint, and they referenced this a couple of times. But what's notable is his trainer for many years, when he's had, you know, when he's had runners, has been Lou Alpetrani, Tom's brother. And you know, Lou Alpetrani's never had, you know, big strings of horses. He's always just, you know, had a handful of horses that he's managed. He is officially retired, sent out his last starter in November. And so seeing Artax and having made this note, you know, that I wanted to make sure that, you know, I got the word out that Lou Alpetrani had retired. And, you know, he was only, you know, we only had two or three horses last year that he sent out. But, you know, you'd see his name and you'd see his runners, and he always, you know, he always would get a handful of wins a year. But, of course, the big horse out of the barn was Artax. And so thoughts and a happy retirement to the Lou Alpetrani. Actually, Tom won that State Bred Stake Saturday, right? Maybe we'll get the brothers. How about that? The Franklin Square, yeah, Sterling Silver on Saturday for Tom with Trevor McCarthy. Oaklawn from Saturday. Before we talk about a very promising and exciting filly from yesterday, let's talk for a second about the Caddo River situation. Caddo River, you know, breaking through the gate and very, you know, very restless pre-race. And I said this the other day. I was against them anyhow, to be honest. He was going to have to improve to beat, you know, several in that allowance on Saturday. And, you know, obviously, you know, the added burden and difficulty of what went on, you know, in the gate. But Caddo River, you know, tick over 6-5 and ends up sixth in here, you know, beating a dozen. Market analysis, wire to wire for Deodoro at 8-9-1. And in fact, Andy went to town on that. Yeah, in fact, a Deodoro exacta in here because Goalie was second. What the exact 137.80 for the dollar exacta. On to yesterday at Oaklawn, and there were two divisions of Philly maiden specials, and the first was won by Peace Peddler Baltus for Calvin Wynn and Joey Tran. This is a Bridalwood May Foal by Gunrunner. Peace Peddler out of Ember Song. Ember Song was nice. Ember Song was a very nice stake mare. That Ember Song, Unbridled Song, Todd trained her. Peace Peddler and this one wire to wire under Giovanni Franco, making, I think, the second start or third start. Where is it? Come on. Where are you? Peace Peddler, second start. was in that race that produced Icy Stare Down. So this is a gun runner. They just keep they keep winning. And then the one that I think may be a little bit more exciting, not that Peace Peddler's win wasn't good. You know, she won by 3 and change in a minute 11 and 3. Well, hot and sultry, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, she wins the nightcap in 110 and 4, 89 buyer for this Spitester filly out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, Hot Water. This is for the Leblancs, Ricardo Santana and Steve Asmussen. Hot and sultry, second time starter, and this may be a very nice filly. She certainly was priced to be a nice filly, $475,000. Meg Levy and Bluewater here was second behind in that same race, that Icy Stare Down race. So Icy Stare Down gets doubly blessed. Speaking of Meatloaf, hey now, it writes itself, folks. yeah, there you go. All right. Write that name down, because this is a filly that is going places. Hot and sultry. All right. The rest of the weekend. We got about 7-8 minutes to the top. Santa Anita, Keith DeSormo on Saturday. How about not Keith DeSormo? Excuse me. Vladimir Serin, Keith DeSormo. Barraza wins that Clocker's Corner. Restricted stake, but a nice performance. It was Kent aboard DeSormo, riding for the Wilsons and Serin. Barraza, started the four-year-old campaign with a win January 2nd and comes right back here weeks later and follows it up with a stake victory. And keep an eye on this one. Barraza into Mischief out of the popular mare. This is a spendthrift product. A couple of other maiden type and so forth. Quiet weekend. You got some action picking up next week at Santa Anita. But Happy Jack at 25-1. Unbelievable. Doug O'Neill for Calumet, first time starter, and beats the Baffert Coolmore Bletchley Park, who was 3-5. And this was not close. Happy Jack wins off Oxbow out of the Tappet mare. Abel Cedillo aboard. That was notable. I didn't get a fig on that race. I got to look that up. And then yesterday, speaking of nice fillies, Baffert's got this Distracted Princess for Pegram Watson and Whiteman, the familiar McDonald's jacket, and followed up that very nice maiden win with an allowance victory, and undoubtedly will make her way toward the path toward the Santa Anita Oaks. She's a Distorted Humor out of Public Purse, a Public Purse mare, Celtic Princess, that was bred in Brazil. So I'll have to get on the case maybe with Sid about that pedigree. And that numbers hadn't been come up from California yet. DeSormo did. I knew there was a DeSormo win out there. Keith and Kent for Rose Hill Farm and Partners. Stellan Noir yesterday down the hill. Yeah. And Eclipse and Michael W. McCarthy Crosby Beach. Nice turf mile and an eighth. Wire to wire. Close out last night. You got the had the football on the TV, had the racing on the laptop. A couple of other notes. I had mentioned the Tampa action and those two maiden races, the two divisions, the mile turf. Well, Chad Brown sent out a very nice looking El Kabir filly, Irish bred by the name of Salima. If you didn't see this, this is the nightcap at Tampa. And she looks like she's really going to be nice. What was fun is Chad put up one of those videos. Sammy Camacho had the Steadicam, had the GoPro on his head. So you get to ride Salima yourself, which is always kind of fun. So yeah, pull that race up. This was very impressive. She won by four, and then she could have won by as much as she pleased. And you got 6-5. It wasn't terrible. The other race actually was notable because Chad's filly went off even lower, consistently a first time starter. But the first time starters did not fare well in the other division, in the sixth race. Sweet Duchess, a will take charge for the ever dangerous and outstanding Kathleen O'Connell for Volar Corporation. This is a Don Alberto bred out of a Street Cry mare. Sweet Duchess with Fernando de la Cruz won convincingly, won with authority, and actually had a handful of starts. Simply seemed to need turf and two turns seemed to be the key. So there you go. Tampa, Gulfstream, a couple of Sunshine Thousands. You had Lovely Lovey at 8-1 for Safi Joseph and Sonata Stable. He's Had Enough, six-year-old mare. That was in the filly and mare turf. You also had Lure Him In, the Sunshine turf for boys. This is David Burnson and partners for Bob Hess, a Kozan five-year-old gelding. Junior Alvarado on board for both of those wins. And how about that maiden winner for Todd, the Liam's Map filly? This is a Hertrick Fielding product. Liam's Kiss for Stone Street. Tyler Gaffney-Own aboard. That was your big Gulfstream action, and we'll round it out with Turfway, a race wire to wire for Brad Cox and Bob LaPenta and Matticat, Saul Kuhlman and partners. And the favorite here, Friar Lawrence, for Ben. I'll bring this one up with Ben later. Friar Lawrence really never got involved. 3-2. Was certainly, certainly made sense. Was one of the ones I thought. I had Grantham and a race, Friar Lawrence and 24 Mamba that we talked about on Friday. But it was a race, and frankly, it was never in doubt either. So there's the racing recap. I actually got through everything, and I'm glad I did. We'll save other New York stuff probably for Andy tomorrow and for Rich Migliori, who's coming up next. We still got to do the Kentucky Derby future wager. And so, hey, there's some decent prices that you could have had. I, of course, managed to, be engrossed in other things and completely forgot. I sent out the reminder on Twitter, and then all of a sudden I look up and it's 6:30, and I'm like, oh my God, I blew it. Unbelievable. Golden 60 got beat. We'll talk about that Wednesday with Dick Powell, and on the square, it just got beat in that handicap, that stake on Sunday morning. So the streak is over for Golden 60. And then some of the news we'll talk about next with Rich, including this just unbelievable stupidity involved with Michael Sanchez, who opens an ADW account and is betting and is going to be suspended at least 60 days, if not longer. Pennsylvania gave him 60 days. Jockeys, you can only... I saved this for Rich especially and let Rich talk about it. The fact that they're allowed to bet at all is, you know, you can debate that topic, but they can only bet on their own mount, which, you know, if you're going to let them bet, then okay, then they got to bet on their own mount. It isn't surprising if you're going to let them bet. But I don't know what to say when you say, I mean, it's so stupid that it's just stunning. And it's unbelievable that, you know, by all accounts, from everybody that, you know, from trainers that use him and from Scott Silver, who's got his book, everybody has nice things to say about him. And, you know, this is going to be tough to live down and is just ridiculous. So I'll let Rich handle it and Tony later on Thursday, right? Got other things off the police blotter to discuss as well. Let's take a break, though, here. An hour in, and Rich Migliori going to join us next at the Races Hour 2. Weekend recapping.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Back. Hour 2, Rich Migliori is joining us.